listening to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast,
featuring the leadership of Ron Kitchens.
The topics discussed today are designed
to keep you moving always forward.
Thanks for listening to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. My name is Amanda Harrison, and I'm sitting down with Ron Kitchens, CEO of Southwest Michigan First. So we took a survey of all of our listeners at the end of 2015 and asked what you guys needed the most help with in terms of your leadership. Several of you wrote in and asked various questions, and a lot of them tended to be about staying motivated in leadership or as a leader helping to motivate others. So today's conversation is all about that. It's all about motivation. And we're going to break this down a little bit by audience. So we're going to start with leading yourself. One of the concepts that John Maxwell, the big leadership guru, teaches is that to be a good leader, you first have to lead yourself. So if you as a leader aren't motivated, that's going to rub off on your team and those around you. So Ron, as a leader, how do you motivate yourself?
Yeah, so first thing, good morning. I'm pumped about this topic, and a lot because it came from listeners. In this last survey, we got overwhelmed with people who said, hey, I need to know about this, or tell me what you're doing. And that gives us so much energy because this really is about trying to build great leaders who in turn change the world, whatever that is. You know, if you're in banking, I want you to be incredible. If you're a classroom teacher, I want you to do amazing things. If you're in business, I need you to be really successful because we live by the belief that the greatest force for change is a job. And that only happens if you're amazing. You know, if you're in the pulpit every Saturday, I hope we give you a little bit of energy. We're so excited to be able to be here on this podcast, but excited that when we get feedback from the listeners telling us what's important to them. You know, and you ask, how as a leader I stay up, or why is that important? And, you know, I think it's critical. You have to know your why. You know, you're either in it for love or in it for the money. And I happen to be one of those that believes that if you're doing something you love, you're going to be amazing at it. You're going to be passionate at it, and the money will come. And, you know, you'll be rewarded in this world and the next, as the Bible would say. But if you're just in it for the money, people who rarely do that ever have long-term success and ever really achieve what they want. So you have to know your why. You got to know why you're doing something, what's important about it, and you got to constantly remind yourself. You know, you got to know what drives you, what's getting you out of bed every day. For me, that's what breaks your heart. What's the thing, you know, that you would do every day for free? Rick Warren, who's written a kajillion books, when the purpose-driven life became this mega bestseller, one of the first things he did was say, you know, I'm never going to take a paycheck again in my life. I've got enough money that I never have to take a paycheck again, so I never have to make a decision based on a paycheck. And I've heard him speak on a couple of different occasions about it and says, and I work more hours today at that job than I did when it was just about, not just about the paycheck, but when the paycheck was driving it. So what would you do for free? That tells you what breaks your heart and your thing. And then great leaders know where their energy comes from. They know that there are things that they can do that stimulate them. And if you don't, you know, the trick for me, the thing I had to do, I had to start journaling, which seems very Nancy Drew, Dear Diary. You know, today I had a bad day and somebody was mean to me at recess. That isn't what it's about. For me, it was talking about what happened in the day and how I felt about it. And after about 6 weeks of doing that, I began to see patterns. And the same action would happen, but I would feel different about it depending on the time of the day that it happened in. So I realized it was my perception and my energy levels that were wrong and were changing my reactions. It wasn't the input. And so I've learned to manage that better. I have to work against it every day against our goals, because I'll fall back into those old lazy patterns of letting other people dictate that. But I clearly know where my energy comes from. For me, right now, it's about being around amazing leaders. So I know if I get into a rhythm that's all about head down, working on things, I know I'm going to be a pretty lousy leader in terms of how I'm interacting with people, but I know I'm also going to be unhappy. That I'm at my happiest when I'm learning with others and I'm participating in creative discussions. And that doesn't have to be huge things. It can be a creative discussion on how we're going to set up a room for a new event we're doing. But I've just got to have that input.
Yeah, so those are some really amazing questions. I mean, we could almost stop the podcast right there. And you could go take that homework and sit down and say, what drives you? What breaks your heart? Where does your energy come from? And that alone would be enough to carry you through in your leadership for a while in terms of motivation. But inevitably, there's going to be seasons where all leaders experience that sense of tiredness or you experience burnout. So when you get to those places, it's your job to keep yourself motivated. So Ron, how do you do that personally?
So again, I have tricks. It's probably a better word for that. It's probably, you know, a higher level of leadership vocabulary. But for me, I know the things that I have to do to re-energize myself. I have one child who's in college, so my wife and daughter and I, together, laughing. I mean, it's not going to a comedy store. It's about being around each other, and we find each other funny. We just laugh. And simply by spending an afternoon together in each other's presence and company and loving each other, I know that my energy level is going to skyrocket because I'm going to find my joy. I'm going to find my laughter again. So I know that's really important. I'm a bit of a blue collar foodie. Now, I love great restaurants and great chefs, and I've been to the Persays of the world, but I also love great barbecue. You know, I've got a collection of great barbecue t-shirts. And it's because the t-shirt reminds me of that incredible meal and the love, because great barbecue has lots of love in it. Great barbecue cooks, they're cooking from their soul. And so I know by sitting in the shade, outdoors, eating barbecue under a tree with the Scheinerbach beer or Arcadia or a Bell's, and I guess I'm supposed to name all the beer companies that are in our community that I love, with a great beer and eating barbecue, there's an amazing cathartic experience that really speaks to my soul. For me, it's also being on the water. And it doesn't mean you got to be in a yacht. On my paddleboard or my kayak has the exact same effect. It re-energizes me. And I know if I'm really stressed, it's a binge watch of House of Cards or The Good Wife or, you know, Downton Abbey. So it's really smartly written things where I can shut my brain off. Now, a lot of times I'll go to a movie theater and see a movie because I can't take notes and put it on pause. But it's about re-energizing my soul and my leadership and knowing what it takes. When I meet leaders, and we coach a lot of leaders that are burned out, it's generally because they forgot where to find their joy. And when we talk to them about where were those places you were really happy at, they'll come down and go, oh yeah, I forgot. I love that. And we get them redoing that and they're back in their joy and their energy goes up and you can just see it in everything about them.
Awesome. So that's all great advice. And it's cool to hear how you do it personally, because again, this is something everybody has to go through at times. And as leaders, we've got to figure out what is that thing that will bring us back to a place where we're feeling motivated in our leadership. And maybe it is binge watching TV or having great barbecue. Those both sound great to me, but let's switch gears a little bit. So Ron, you've been leading teams for decades. Over time, how have you learned to best motivate your teams?
So we binge watch and eat barbecue at the same time, which I hadn't thought of before now. But Downton Abbey and a pile of ribs, and I'm not sure life gets much better than that.
Sounds like a good Friday.
Yeah. You know what? I think when we're talking about teams, so nobody can motivate anybody else. I don't care who you are. It's impossible. Now, what you can do is inspire them. But people have to motivate themselves. People have to be hardwired to succeed. When we look at great sports teams and you go back and deconstruct them, these are people who are hardwired to succeed. They just needed a leader to help inspire them to utilize the tools they had and to gather up other talents and strengths, or develop their talents and strengths to be successful. So, you know, I think for us, when we're looking at inspiring others, the first thing is you have to have buy-in on a vision. So it's got to be a collective vision that ties into people's personal vision and helps them have a sense of ownership. And that ownership piece is critical because owners nurture. Owners pull weeds in the garden. When you go to the nursery and you're looking at buying plants, you don't pull weeds. You just point out which thing you want and you walk away from it. When you have a rental car, nobody ever washes a rental car. Nobody ever takes care of that thing. So when we're looking at organizations, we have to have people who own it. So they go a step beyond what is normal. They go a step beyond what the standard is. They go a step beyond what most people think is sane. That's what great organizations look like. They communicate the vision of the organizations with each other. So they hold each other accountable to the vision and success. It's not the point leader. This isn't a hierarchy. Nobody's been anointed by God to be the king of the organization. We've all made a conscious decision, and that's something that's really changing in this generation as we see baby boomers leave the workforce. Today's workforce is not at all interested in top-down management. They're not being told how things are and just to go execute it. They want to know why. They want to know how it contributes to the success. They want to be part of the decision-making process. Now, they're willing to defer to the point leader to make the final decision, but they want to be part of that. And that's a completely different strategy. And so it's critically important as leaders that we embrace that and understand it. Frankly, it takes a lot more stress off the leader because you have a lot of collective wisdom, but you got to get pretty good at the individual communication piece and understanding that you're really not the smartest guy in the room. You're just the leader.
So I think it's safe to say that when it comes to motivation, like you said, there's no one thing or one trick. People have to learn how to motivate themselves. But people also very much like to be treated like individuals or not just another cog in the wheel of a big organization. So I think one of the most motivating things for me, even personally, is when you as a leader, you take time to actually get to know each person on the team. And we did a podcast about this a year ago, knowing your people and spending time with people. But would you agree that learning how to interact with each individual can be one of the most motivating things a leader can do?
Absolutely. Everybody comes to your team from a different place. Even if you were hiring two brothers, my brother John and I are very similar, but very different. You couldn't manage or have us both on the same team and treat us in the same way. We're motivated by different ways. We're hardwired differently. So when you have a team, you've got to understand what each person brings to you because you didn't hire everybody to be the same. If you did, you're not listening to this podcast because you've already gone out of business. You really are building a mosaic of people, and every one of those pieces of your mosaic is different. It needs to be polished different, needs to be treated different. It brings different values to it. It's like the ingredients in a great gumbo. Listeners know I love cooking gumbo, but every ingredient cooks in a different way. Everyone is chopped in a different size. Everyone is presented in a different way. But they all go to the flavor of a great gumbo. But if you cooked everything at the same time, at the same heat, in the same way, you would end up with a bucket of mush that was disgusting. It's a little bit literal, but that, in fact, is what leadership looks like. You have to treat every ingredient different. Now, is that harder to do? Yes, it is. But the day of cubicle farms where everybody's treated the same and everybody's benefits are the same and the rules are the rules and you have to clock out and here's what you have to do, yeah, are over. You know, I was in a business a few years ago. There was one of these typical cubicle farm things and they wouldn't let anyone decorate their cube because they thought everybody had to be standard because we have to be able to have maximum flexibility, switching people around and everything. And I walked through there and I was talking to Lynn that night at dinner And I told her I really felt bad about this. She said, why? And it's because they're not going to be in business 2 years from now. And I coached them on that, but they believed that that efficiency would help them. Yeah, it helped them right out of business. Mm-hmm. Today's worker, today's person, the human condition of today needs to be treated as an individual and needs to be loved and respected as that. And if you're not great at that as a leader, then you've got to hire somebody on your team who is great at that. And then you got to empower them to just go do that. I guarantee you it pays off in the end.
So in our organization, we have several different groups that we work together with to rely on and to achieve our mission, like our board of directors or our economic development partner organizations throughout Southwest Michigan, and then the community as a whole. So we've talked about how leaders need to keep themselves motivated. We've talked about how leaders can help motivate their teams. But how can leaders motivate others externally outside of the organization to kind of harness that support that we need to accomplish goals that are bigger than ourselves?
So I think the answer to that is, first thing, leaders need to know what they want. There are too many leaders and organizations who we talk to, we coach, come to our leadership training events, who, you know, are being coached by members of our leadership team, who have no idea what they want. There's an old Zig Ziglar quote that essentially says you can have anything you want in this world if you just help enough other people get what they want. The problem is people don't know what they want, so then they don't go help enough other people get what they want. So then it becomes a vicious circle of unhappiness and feeling like you're not achieving anything. Well, you're not, because you didn't define what success looked like. So leaders have absolutely got to decide what they want and then make it a goal that they're in that area going to help as many other people get what they want as they conceivably can. You know, one of the companies that we operate is called Consultant Connect, or C2, and it works with economic development groups, helping them bridge the gap between site consultants and economic development groups. It happens to be something that we're pretty good at. Now, when we began to open that up and allow other groups to utilize what we had, people thought we were crazy. It was amazing that people were really upset about it. How could you do that? They're your competitors. Well, they're not our competitors. And in fact, we now get to see more site consultants in a year than we could have seen by ourselves. We're lifting up the profession. We're having people provide us with reciprocal benefits that they'll hear that there's an opportunity and they'll call and say, hey, this doesn't work for me, but I think now I know it's important to you. Here you go. Let me give this to you for your use. That's what great leadership looks like, and it works in any industry. So you've got to know what you want. You got to do reciprocal work. So share. This is not a zero-sum game. You know, I love the term enlightened self-interest. It is absolutely okay to help somebody because it helps yourself. You know, people a lot of times give to charity because it makes them feel good. It isn't just about solving a problem or lifting somebody up. It makes you feel good. The chemicals in your brain give you a glow. You feel excited. You have more energy. It truly is better to give than receive. And that's what it's about when you have reciprocal leadership. You get to give, and then knowing that it comes back in just stimulates you. You want more of that. You want more of that success. So that's really important. And then you got to constantly be telling people, you know, your vision and mission. People have to understand what's important to you, but you got to know what's important to you before you can do that.
Absolutely. So the bottom line really from today's conversation is that, you know, motivation isn't easy, but it does have to be kept up by the leader in order to ever execute on your mission, to ever get your passion through to success. So, you know, we talked about leaders motivating themselves, leaders motivating their teams. How can you motivate others externally? What are your closing thoughts on today's conversation?
Great leaders are inspired leaders. And the problem with point leadership, you know, there's this old saying that it's lonely at the top. I don't really like that saying, but sometimes it's lonely because the leader self-inflicts that. You're lonely because you're isolated. Inspired leaders are not isolated leaders. So if you want to build a great organization, if you want to motivate or inspire others, you've first got to start with yourself. You've got to inspire yourself. Musicians don't issue an album of music because it'll sell. Successful musicians issue an album of music because they love it, because the songs mean something to them, because it helps them tell a story. Well, they had to do a lot of work to get there. They had to find songwriters. They had to write the song. They had to find arrangers. They had to go out on tour. They had to tell those stories of passion. Then they got to have influence. And too many times, point leaders want to have the influence without doing the work. If you want to do great things for your organization, the first thing you have to do is do great things for yourself. Go be inspired.
Thanks for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We hope today's insights will help you develop into the leader you dream to be. To subscribe to Ron's blog or to submit a question for Ron to discuss in a future podcast, visit ronkitchens.com or tweet him at ronkitchens.